Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, and so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio, bringing you, what are we bringing? Oh yeah, celebrity news and infotainment with a Bible verse slapped on it, so you still think this is Christian radio. You know, like you hear at the K-Love. Did I actually say the call letters of the, this is Wretched Radio. Hey, this is very exciting in the world of Christian news. Jimmy, this TV show, I guess it's all the rage. It's a ratings bonanza. Transformed season 4. They just dropped a new episode, number 10. Still ashamed after saying I'm sorry. Listen to the description of this bad boy right here. Natalie feels like she's walking through life with a cloud over her head. Though forgiveness has been offered, shame lingers. Her husband, Guy, can't seem to stop bringing up her past. As they wrestle with trust, guilt, and spiritual pride, Dr. Lou Priolo leads them back to the gospel. Real hope is found in humility, grace, and believing what God says is true. Healing begins when shame loses its, what is that word? When shame loses its voice. Who wrote that? Oh. That's not the way we talk here. Transform season 4, episode 10. I'm telling you, people are digging this series. It is real people, real marriages, real problems, real solutions. It is, of course, free at fortisplus.org. Don't be deceived by the plus. It is all free.
And on the next episode of Transform.
Yeah, that sounds like the guy who's actually on Transform.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's you.
The guy with the wonderful voice.
Yeah, that's the fellow right here.
On the next episode of Transform, Todd's going to actually be a guest. Shame, lists, plugs.
Who's next? Do you have any idea? We've got 13 episodes.
Right, we do.
And then please note, all of these can be used for Bible study, which is really, your class will watch it, and then you'll open up what was taught by Lou Priolo. It will strengthen marriages and help them. Okay, so here's the, in this couple, she was unfaithful multiple times. She repented, he forgave. And yet, we're human beings. I know we're supposed to drop it in the sea of forgetfulness, which, by the way, doesn't mean that you never remember it. It simply means that you don't bring it up. But he does continue to bring it up. And so it doesn't feel like she's been forgiven, which I think is an important thing to consider when it comes to repentance and forgiveness. There are so many angles that can sabotage the reconciliation that comes from repenting wrongly. And having said that, we also need to learn that even when repentance ain't done right, we still need to do our bit. So for instance, if you have been sinned against and somebody repents, but you don't think that it is as earnest as it should be, we are still called to forgive, and we're still called not to bring it up, and we're still called to not throw it in their face again. You know, the way God treats us, he doesn't bring it up and tease us with it or use it as a cudgel, and we shouldn't either, even if the person didn't repent to our standard. Having said that, you repent and the other person keeps bringing it up. Does that mean that you can get angry and retaliate or huff and puff? The answer is no, you can't. Repentance is powerful. Repentance is what I think keeps intimate relationships healthy. And I'm talking really in any context, but it, you know, where the dynamic is more intense inside of the home, inside of the church, with whether it's your spouse or with your children, repentance is crucial. It just removes the stains from the carpet. It removes the stains. It gets rid of the filth, because if you don't deal with it spot by spot, spill by spill, you're going to have some real garbage sort of carpet. Yeah, I'm working with this illustration. In your relationships, repentance cleans it up. But when people don't do it right, it doesn't give us license then to harbor, to get angry, or to grow a root of bitterness. Watching these transformed episodes will help you down that road. And here, okay, here's another dynamic to repentance. You sinned, you repent, but the person that you repented to, they continue to not let the relationship be what it once was. What are the implications for that? Well, I can think of at least two. First of all, you do not, therefore, get license to bring it up and get into a fight over it. Hey, when are you going to? I said I'm sorry. Okay, let's move on.org here. Nope, you don't get to do that. I think that's one of the things that we're really inclined to do, and we got to cut that out. The second implication of repenting and your spouse isn't willing to be the same as it was, I think you need to walk a mile in his or her shoes. I think that you need to find a way to, as best you can, sympathize and empathize with them. We tend to overlook our wounding. We have a tendency to think it wasn't that bad. Yeah, okay, sure, I said this, but I could have said that. Yes, I did this, but I didn't do that. We can't be the judge of the depth of the wound. We have to help that person to heal, and we need to be patient for that person to heal. If we don't let them do that and just tell them to, hey, let's get over it here. Let's get back to business. I think you're closer to being one of Job's counselors. We actually talked about this Sunday morning. When I say we, I mean Eric, who is teaching Sunday school at Alpharetta Bible Church. And Job's comforters, do you remember? They started out pretty strong. They just sat with him. They just entered into it with them. And that is an aside from the current aside that I'm on, is something that you and I, if you don't know what to say or what to do, and perhaps it keeps you from trying to comfort somebody, because I don't know what I would do. You don't need to do nothing. You can just be there. You can just comfort them with your presence. Yeah, you can learn to say things, but you don't have to feel like, oh, if I don't get a 3-point alliterated sermon in, then I really haven't comforted them. Just being there can be comforting. Job's comforters did that pretty well for a week. Then they started to accuse. Job, you must be sinning. And it all unraveled. They were rotten comforters. And you'll be a rotten counselor to the person you wounded if you start accusing them of sinning for not healing as quickly as you think that they should. Enter in. Let them be sad. Don't let them sin, of course, but let them take their time in healing from it. And don't think that somehow you can expedite that. And that is especially true when it comes to the issue of trust. Trust, when it is lost, okay, it can be forgiven, but reclaimed, that takes labor. It takes effort and time. And you need to be willing to put it in. If you have broken trust with your spouse, with your kids, you need to work tirelessly, patiently, and without grumbling or accusing. When are you going to trust me? What do I need to do to prove it to you? You just don't have license to talk like that. You've wounded. You've sinned. There's a reaping. There's a sowing. It doesn't mean that you aren't forgiven for your sins. It just means that you're feeling the effects of your sins, and you need to ride the horse that you brought to the rodeo. You caused it. You need to endure it. And if I could, if you want to be a good comforter, I think there's, in Sunday school, we talked about this. We went over to 2 Corinthians 1, that prays to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all of our afflictions. Why does he do that? So that we can comfort others with the comfort that we've been shown. For some translations, 5 times the word comfort is used in verses 3 and 4. We're supposed to be comforting one another. How are we to do that the way that God does that? And just incidentally, it's interesting that baked inside of that is what being a comforter will do for you. In the context of it, you have been hurt. God has comforted you. And if you follow the admonition of the 2 responses that Paul gives to having received comfort from God, you're going to be comforted further. What are they? 1, praise God. You've been wounded? Praise God. It will comfort you. It'll take your eyes off of you. Put it on God. 2, comfort others. What is the theme? It's that we aren't looking internally, that we're not wallowing, but we're looking out to praise God and to comfort others. And that will help you to be comforted. Transformed Season 4, FortisPlus.org. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. We thanked them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. Probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. And get this. It's all free. Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free. It's powerful. And it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus. At FortisPlus.org. Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? Introducing Transformed Season 4. 6 brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 1 new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first because your couch just got promoted.
Important dates in Christian history. 1678. John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress is published. Written while Bunyan was in prison for preaching the gospel, this allegorical tale of the Christian life becomes second in international circulation, exceeded only by the Bible. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, yeah. I kind of forgot. We haven't covered much ground, but I think it's important ground. Luther called marriage a school of character for good reason. Think of your spouse as sandpaper. They will either polish you or rub you to agitation. The choice is yours. This is Wretched Radio. Let's get to it more, shall we? Jimmy, it was called OnlyFans. This is the social media platform where you, it's porn, basically. You create your own porn of yourself or others, I guess. And you have the thing on the OnlyFans, however this thing works. And people pay for it. And the kids are doing it en masse. This is from, it was Fox News, like I thought. A trend is sweeping college campuses, creating and selling content on OnlyFans, a website that allows adults to produce and post their own sexually explicit content. Romans 1 called, in exchange for money from subscribers, has become a popular way for college students to earn extra income while in school. Check these stats out. In 2019, that site had 350,000 creators. That's a huge number. Fast forward to 2023, 4.1 million. Now, that's the people who are making the stuff. I mean, exponentially more are consuming the stuff. Our society's mind collectively is getting darker and darker and more twisted and contorted. And we're doing is putting fertilizer on the noetic effect of the fall. Rather than having our minds transformed, we're having our minds degraded, and we're giving hearty affirmation to it. Looking forward to being on the campuses this fall. We are now going to 4, Jimmy. We were just 3, but now we're going to 4. It's North Georgia University and Kennesaw. That's with Dr. Greg Gifford. We're going to answer the question, why aren't you happier? I think we've got 3. Not everybody will fit underneath this umbrella, but 3 really big explanations for why so many people just aren't experiencing joy. Then get to fly to Oklahoma. Watch the Oklahoma game. A little bit of it on Sunday night, I think, because we're going to be at Oklahoma University. There's Oklahoma State.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's OU. I tend to, I better get this straight before I go to Oklahoma. That'll be the 3rd week in October where we're going to talk about deconstruction. Speaking of, look at me. I'm segueing right here.
Ah.
Yeah. Talked about football. That's entertainment.
Right.
And now talking about going to Oklahoma to talk about deconstruction.
Uh-huh.
Lecrae, he's a celebrity. He's got a new album out. It's called Reconstruction. If you remember Lecrae, the rapper fellow, he deconstructed his faith. And now he's back with his 10th studio album saying that he's reconstructed his faith. Now, I hope the guy's saved. I hope that he's got it sorted. But I think we can learn from his language why the use of the term deconstruction and reconstruction aren't helpful. Deconstruction is something that is a trend. It is a part of postmodernism that tears down the institution, the idea, the philosophy, the religion, and then rebuilds it up in the image of Karl Marx, basically what it does. And we're doing this with everything, including inside of evangelicalism. Now, the Bible has a different name for it. It's called apostasy, and it lists about 10 different apostates inside of the New Testament. Demas forsook us because he loved the world. And so this is nothing new. And this is another instance where we need to use biblical language and reject worldly terminology like deconstruction and reconstruction, because the Bible... apostate, you're no longer an apostle. You're no longer, rather, a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. Apostate. Okay, what apostate? Post? Well, it's not post, because that would be after. That would make no sense. What is the word apostate? What's the etymology of the word apostate? Do you know, Jimmy? Can you AI that one for us?
I can.
Hey, speaking of AI, had a lengthy conversation with Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker and Phil Johnson at the Cornerstone Conference in Daytona Beach. Pastor, I know you're already aware of the cautions to not use it to write your sermons. That's a big no-no. That should just be a big verboten. But also to practice caution when it comes to asking it for help and doing some research, because you've got to make sure that you're going to original sources or credible sources. Well, guess what I learned in talking to these guys in Daytona Beach? AI plays fast and loose. It does something called hallucinate. It provides hallucinations. It gives you what you've trained it to think it wants you to receive. In other words, it's sort of like Fox News. They tell you what your opinion is that you already possess. The AI will tell you what it thinks you want to hear, and it will make things up. Who is telling me about the Spurgeon quote? They put in a request. Oh, I know. It was Jim Osmond. He was saying that he wanted a quote from Charles Spurgeon on something. And got the quote. And Osmond was like, oh, that's a really good quote. Asked AI what the source is. Guess what? AI had made it up. So be very, very careful. Phil Johnson then shared his experience with it. He was saying that he was emailing with somebody who was accusing him and John MacArthur. This is very, like, now. This has just been happening. John MacArthur of something. It doesn't matter what it is. That, okay, I've got a can of Fresca. Speaking of John MacArthur, that John MacArthur said, I hate Fresca. And Phil Johnson affirmed that. And Phil responded and said, well, John never said that. Yeah, no, he definitely said it. Well, send me the source. The guy sends Phil the source where John MacArthur actually did say that. The problem was Phil knew the source, so he went to the actual source. And guess what? The source didn't say that at all. But AI included it in what appeared to be an original source. All that to say, be careful with the AI. Be careful. It's a tool, but it ain't perfect. Virgil Walker, Daryl Harrison used the term, it has human fingerprints on it. And that means there's going to be sin involved. The programming of the AI is done by human beings. And so be very, very careful. Jimmy, what's the apostate mean?
It means one who stands away.
One who stands. So give me the etymology.
So apo means away from.
Oh.
And states.
Standing.
Yeah, one who stands. So one who stands away.
Oh, wow. I was so off on that because I thought the A would be a negation, but it's apo.
Apo, yeah.
Oh. Well, now we all know, don't we? That's the term the Bible uses for deconstructing. Lecrae being interviewed for his album. This is the Christian Post said this. My foundation has always been Christ, but some things had to be rebuilt. Because some things were torn down. The tearing down marked the beginning of a healthier faith. Might I encourage us to not use any of the terminology associated with deconstruction? I don't know Lecrae's theology before he deconstructed. I will trust him that there was some bad stuff in there. But to use the term deconstruction, I think is to send people in a different trajectory. Oh, the thing is broken, it's bad, and I can refashion it and reconstruct it in my image the way that I want it to be. Instead, if you got bad bits of theology, don't deconstruct, reform. Don't tear everything down, identify it and fix it. We all do that all the time. We should be constantly tweaking and adjusting it, but that is radically different than tearing it down and deconstructing it to reconstruct it. We don't reconstruct the faith. We repent of the things that we have had off. We repent of our bad understanding of things. And then we get in alignment with God's straight line because our line has been crooked. That's radically different than saying, I have reconstructed my faith. In other words, I built it in the way that satisfies me. In other words, the standard is myself. And the standard needs to be the word of God. He wrote this: if your building has asbestos, you've got to tear down some of those walls. Okay, you got bad theology. You don't tear down the entire faith. You remove the asbestos. That's how you deal with it theologically. He tries to argue, there was some mold in my religious walls, beliefs that were not healthy, a lot of self-righteousness. Okay, that doesn't mean the faith is off. It means you're off. A lot of church hurt. Got to work through that, but that doesn't mean you tear down your faith. And I could not let that inform my walk with Jesus. They had to be destroyed in order for me to reconstruct. No, they had to be rejected in order for you to repent and reform. If you got some stuff that you're dealing with, don't follow this trend, because it will lead to utter abandonment in most cases of the faith. Instead, use biblical language to reform. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.